Good thing I started early coming up here. How's everyone doing this morning? Good? It's good to see everyone. Brought my Bible just in case I need it. All right. Well, how many of you are excited for Thanksgiving? I love Thanksgiving because there is some good food. I have really good cooks in my family. My brother's here. He's a chef. You cannot have him or my sister-in-law, and he will not cater your Thanksgiving because he caters ours. Well, I am Pastor Rachel. For those of you who do not know me, I'm the assistant pastor here at North Elevation Church, and I am so grateful to be here this morning and to be able to share what the Lord has put on my heart. And it's been heavy this week, I'll tell you that. And first of all, I want to invite everyone to stand up. Don't hate me for asking you to stand up, okay? We're going to pray because we need Holy Spirit here this morning, and that's the most important thing. So, Lord Jesus, we just come before you today, and we thank you so much for your presence here. We thank you for who you are. And Holy Spirit, I just invite you into this place. As I know that you are already here, I pray that you would just continue to make your presence known and that you would speak to every single one of our hearts, that we would not leave this place this morning, God, without getting what you have for us here this morning. This is all for you, Lord Jesus, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. I'll only ask you to do that three more times this morning. No, I'm kidding. I won't have you do that until Pastor Rochelle comes up at the end, maybe. All right, so Thanksgiving, it's the beginning of the holiday season. I love this time of year, absolutely love it. I love the chestnut praline lattes from Starbucks. there's so much that's associated with the holiday season. There are so many memories, some good, some bad. And maybe some of the bad is because this might be your first holiday season that you're spending without a loved one. Or maybe this brings back memories of fights that you've had with your family in the past because there's conflict when there's people involved, right? But there is peace that Jesus offers us every single day. It doesn't matter where we're going. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. We can have peace. And so that's what I want for every single one of us as we go into the holiday season this year, that no matter what's been going on, and we all know that the last 22 to 24 months has been a challenge, to say the least, for so many different people. It has been challenging on so many levels. There's not been one person that hasn't been affected by what's happening in the world and what's happening in our nation and what's happening with sickness and disease and all of the things that come with that. But there's one thing that we get to hold on to, and that is peace, and that is hope, because that's who Jesus is. And there was something I shared a few weeks ago, I guess it was a little over a month ago, when Pastor Corey asked me to share about a little bit about my journey, and I wanted to share it again today, and that is that being thankful is like taking a shovel and digging a grave to put your grief into. So I want every person here to think about whatever it is that you are grieving about, whether that is the loss of a loved one or the loss of a relationship. Being thankful is like taking a shovel and digging a grave to put your grief into. You slowly dig the grave, you put the event into the grave, and then you use the same shovel to cover it back up. When it's there, you put a memorial stone on it, and you don't forget that it's there, but it's not something that owns you or controls you. And that's what thankfulness can do. If we are thankful, we take a shovel and we dig a grave to put our grief or whatever it is, and then it doesn't become something that controls us. So this week, as many of you, and I'm one of those people, that this is the first year that I'll be celebrating Thanksgiving without my grandpa for the first time. And I just really felt like it was on my heart. This has... Well, I don't want to say nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm going to read a passage of scripture because I feel like there's somebody other than me that just needs to hear it. It comes from 1 Thessalonians 4, and it's verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. You know, death in this world, it's not forever. You pass on and you go into eternity. And the people who have gone before us, guess what? They're way better off than we are. But we still have so much hope. We can have hope in the midst of grief. We can have hope in the midst of heartache. And with hope comes peace, because they're kind of interchangeable, right? All right, so as we go into Thanksgiving this week, maybe some of you are a little bit stressed out because you're going to see that person that you don't get along with very well. Everyone has them in their family, everyone. You can't have, well, especially the Smithy family, because their family's huge, okay? They got like 150 people going to Thanksgiving, I'm sure. And so you know that there are more than one or two people that don't get along with each other, or they're not very excited about seeing each other. Me, for my family, I only have five of those people that I'm not looking forward to seeing. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. I am very excited and happy to see all of my family. And I'm going to be honest, sometimes it's a battle getting to be around people, because you get nervous about the things that are going to be said, you get nervous about the things that are going to get talked about, and the things that are going to be brought up from the past. And I believe that this year, that we're going to walk in peace. I want everyone to say it out loud. I'm going to walk in peace. Yeah. Amen. We sure are. And I'm gonna read Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving. Everyone say pleading with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We all need that. In today's world, in today's society, in our nation, in everything that's going on, even when we're around family, the people that love us the most sometimes, we all need the peace of God. And you know what? We all need the peace of God that doesn't make sense, because there's so much that doesn't make sense right now. There always has been, but we're just more aware of it now, because it's all like bubbled up and it's spilling over everywhere. But I want to challenge you, when you go before God, if you want that peace that passes all comprehension, go to God pleading with thanksgiving. What is it that you're thankful for? I started a list in my phone, and I do this a lot. I start lists, and then I forget about them, and then I go back to them, and then I forget about them, and, you know, we all do it, I think. But we've got to be intentional about what we're thankful for. We don't have to be intentional about what to complain about, because that just comes naturally, right? Well, crap, I'm driving behind a really slow driver, and I've got to be somewhere in 5 minutes, right? That comes naturally. It's not, thank you, Lord, for this extra time that I get to spend with you this morning in the car. Although this morning, because I was preaching, maybe I had a special grace on me because that did happen to me this morning, and I was thankful for it. But most of the time, we don't have to try very hard to complain about something or to find something that we're not happy about. Because those things, they just happen. Things that don't go our way, what's the first thing we do? We complain about them, right? When we're thankful for something, do you immediately get on the phone and call somebody and tell them what it is that you're thankful for? No, most of the time, if you have something to complain about, that's when you get on the phone and you call somebody and you tell them, and then they start complaining about the same thing, and then they also give you something that's happening in their life that they're complaining about. But why don't we break the cycle? Like, whenever you think about something that you're really thankful for, a prayer that you prayed that God answered, why don't you call somebody and tell somebody about it? And the challenge on the other end of that is when somebody calls and tells you something that's really good, it's so easy for us to burst other people's bubble when they call and tell us something that's good. We're just like, oh, that's cool. Well, that was anticlimactic. Celebrate what other people are thankful for. Celebrate the answer to prayer that God is giving someone else. Because you know what happens when you do that for somebody else? That's going to happen in your life. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so as we go into Thanksgiving, I want to talk about three things that rob us of our peace. I'm sure there are way more, but I only have till 11:48 or 42, can't remember. Number one is offense. An offense leads to resentment. So I looked up what it means to be offended, and it is resentful or annoyed, typically as a result of a perceived insult. Key word there, perceived insult. How many of you text on your phones? You communicate with people via text. My grandma, she had her birthday yesterday. Happy birthday. And this year, she got an iPhone. And so if my grandma can text, anyone can text. Actually, if my dad can text, anyone can text. texting, I will tell you that is, because you cannot hear someone's tone, it is one of the easiest ways that you can become offended with someone. Because if you don't get an emoji with your okay, then you think that person's mad at you. And I am so guilty of this. My mom she's not allowed to send me the word K or okay. Because I'm like, oh, what did I do? What did I do? She's mad at me. I've done something. And then I become offended that my mom sent me that because now I'm thinking that she's mad at me. And whenever we become offended about something, it's typically a result of a perceived insult. Most of the time, it's not the way that somebody meant how you took it. You're perceiving it to be an insult, but really, they were just busy, and they said, okay. And the thing is if you would choose to think that they meant the best in what they said or what they text, you would live a much more peaceful life. The Lord brought it to my attention last night as I was spending time with him, and I looked up, how many of you have ever heard of a paper dragon? Okay, great, one of you, thank you. I looked it up and I was like, I know that there's something like with a paper dragon, and then I landed on paper tiger. Okay, and a paper tiger is one that is outwardly powerful or dangerous, but inwardly weak or ineffectual. And I was like, wow, that's really good. And the Lord put it on my heart that there's so many of us in the body of Christ that we have paper tigers. And we're fighting against all of these things that they look big and they look powerful and they look dangerous, but on the inside, they're weak and ineffectual. And that's what offense is. We think that being offended with somebody. We think that the things that somebody has done to us, we think they're this big thing, and they're really not. And it's time for us to expose these things for what they really are. The second thing that robs us of our peace is unforgiveness and bitterness. Anybody ever struggled with forgiving somebody? Good. I'm glad that some more of you were honest this morning. Unforgiveness is one of the biggest lies that we struggle with in the body of Christ. We think that by holding on to something that somebody has done to us is somehow going to bring us justification. That it's somehow going to hurt them that we're holding on to what they've done to us. Guess what? They don't care. The only person that it's robbing is you. And I want to challenge you every day to allow the Lord to search your heart. God, is there any offense? Is there any unforgiveness? Is there any bitterness in my heart? Because I don't want it. Because I promise you, you don't. That robs you of your peace. And peace is something that God wants every single one of us to have. Bitterness. Anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly. Is there anyone in here who has ever been treated unfairly? Yes, all of us. Every single one of us. There's things that have happened in our life that are not fair. And guess what? Life isn't fair. It's just not. But we can choose to let what happens in our life that's not fair bring a root of bitterness and anger, or we can choose to let it go like Frozen, you know, Elsa. I will spare you from singing, Colin. The third thing that robs us of our peace is pride. Jealousy. So there's, pride is actually a word that has evolved over time. And in its original sense, pride was hardly something to be proud of, as it carried the meaning of inordinate self-esteem and an unreasonable conceit of superiority. In early use, pride was also often found in capitalized form, referring to one of the seven deadly sins. The use of pride to refer to a reasonable form of self-respect began to appear in the 14th century, and the word has taken on a number of other shades of meaning since then. Think about what pride is used for today. We have all these people that are going and waving flags. Pride. They're proud of what they stand for. And somehow, see, that's what the devil does, right? He takes something that is bad and he makes it look good. If he didn't make it look good and it just looked bad to all of us, we wouldn't take it, right? I mean, some of you would, but then I'd be concerned for your mental health. So I'm going to read a scripture from James. It comes from chapter 3. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. I'm going to read that one again. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. As you go and you're around people that you're not typically around this holiday season, I think one of the biggest things that that we can struggle with is wanting to be proud of what we've accomplished, what we have. Because you know what? I'm doing better than you are. And that's the perception that we want to give off to people because we're proud, right? And then we go and we find out that this person, everything's going great for them in their life. They got a $100,000 bonus at work, and they're getting married, and they're having a baby, and they have this beautiful house. And all of these things that we wish that we had. I know that most of you are married in here. I'm not, okay? So I can just being honest. But we can go and we can see all of these victories that other people are having in their life. And the temptation is not to celebrate their victory, but what's the temptation? To be jealous of their victory because we want that in our life. And that's different for every single one of us. There's things that you want in life, and one of the biggest things, I think sometimes God will test us and see if we're ready to have something in our life by giving it to the five people around us first. How are we going to react to somebody else getting it? Are you going to celebrate it? Or are you going to be jealous of it? And jealousy is rooted in pride. I heard I was in Colorado last weekend and I went to church and I heard a fantastic quote that I'm going to use forever. And it is, being offended is inevitable, but living offended is a choice. Yeah, I know it's good. Y'all can all have it. I didn't come up with it. Being offended, it's going to happen. We're human. There's going to be something that somebody says to us. There's going to be a way that somebody looks at us that is going to be offending to us. It's just going to happen. I used to say, you know, live, like, be unoffendable, right? But I like this better because being offended is inevitable. It's going to happen. But the way that you live, if you choose to live offended, that's on you. And if you choose to live offended, you are choosing not to live in peace. Because that will rob you of your peace all day long. All right, so what's the solution? We have all of these things, offense, unforgiveness, pride. All of these things that rob us of our peace. What's the solution? Jesus, right? Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the giver of peace. He gives it, and we have a choice. We can take the gift, or we can let it be taken from us. I don't typically preach from the Old Testament, but I got a good one from Deuteronomy. Chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you would say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, Pastor Colin just got done preaching about the things that we worship. I think recently, right? I remember it. Hold on, now I lost my spot. Where was I? Thank you. Thank you. Worship other gods and serve them. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, I know this is talking about the promised land, but we all want to live in the promised land, do we not? I bet you there's no one in here that wants to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years. And why did that happen? Because they chose to worship other gods, gods created in their image. But you know what? If we choose Jesus, if we choose life over death, then we will walk in peace. You know, if you go and you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, you will see a lot of things that might be offensive to some, because that's just too hard to follow all of these things that Jesus says. Right? Jesus tells us to forgive those. Jesus tells us to bless those who curse us. Who wants to do that? Right? That's hard. But why did Jesus tell us to do that? Because that's what brings peace. If we would follow the commands that Jesus has given us, then we would have peace in our lives. So what do? Number one, we make a decision to live unoffended. Live unoffended. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be offended. Remember, being offended is inevitable. But you're the one that gets to choose if you're going to live that way and let that thing be the thing that controls you and owns you. Number two, forgive. Choose right now that you're going to forgive. I promise that there will be an opportunity for you to forgive this week, probably today, probably before you leave this service. Matthew 6, this is from the Sermon on the Mount, 14 through 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's pretty harsh, right? Now you can be offended with Jesus, not me. But don't. We have to forgive. I'm telling you, this year, Pastor Corey, back in the spring, I think he says it all the time. Love well and forgive even better. We have to do that. If you want an opportunity to forgive, go turn on CNN. Because you will immediately, well, me at least, you will immediately have to forgive someone. Because you can turn that on and get offended real quick. And then that can ruin your whole day. It can, if you let it. See, the people on CNN, they want to know Jesus too. They just don't know it yet. Everyone does. Who doesn't want to live in peace? If I set before you today peace and conflict, how many of you would choose conflict? Good, you all passed the test. We all want peace. But you know what? We have to work hard and we have to be intentional. It's a free gift, It's a free gift, but we have to work to keep it. And the way that you work to keep it is not by, you know, trying to be perfect, but to just live the way that Jesus calls us to live. Decide not to be offended. Decide to forgive. And number three, I kind of talked about this earlier, but celebrate someone else's victory. You've been trying to get pregnant and you can't get pregnant? Celebrate somebody else that just had a baby. Celebrate somebody else that just found out that they were pregnant. You've been wanting a new job and somebody else just gave you news that they got their dream job? Celebrate that. Don't be like, well, I've been praying for that for a long time and I still don't have it. That's what we do. We do that so much. We pray for things and then somebody else gets what we've been praying for and then we just victimize ourselves. Woe is me. No, not woe is you. No. You need to celebrate somebody else's victory. Oh, yay, I get to read the scripture. I love this one. Do I have the reference on there, Kathy, for the next one? Bless those who persecute you. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's good. This comes out of Romans. I believe it's chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I want to pause right there for a second. So far as it depends on you. You. Not the people that you're around. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. That means that you've got this force field around you that you're not going to let the things that other people say to you, you're not going to let the things that other people do to you, you're not going to let that affect you. You walk in peace. You walk in joy. Because you know why? Jesus paid the price for you to do that. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Some of you will do that just for that. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We will never, ever overcome the evil that is in our nation by repaying it with evil. Guess what that's going to do? Well, you're seeing it. You're seeing what it's doing. Somebody has to break the cycle. We were just talking about this in youth on Wednesday night. Somebody has to break the cycle. Bad, 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 good. Nope, stops right here. You got to decide right now. And maybe you're the person in your family that's going to stop that cycle. Stop the cycle of offense. Stop the cycle of jealousy. Stop the cycle of anger. You're never going to overcome those things by bringing in more of the same. It has to change. And you can be the change. You can be the one that decides that I am going to not be overcome by this evil. I'm not going to be overcome by this bitterness. I am going to overcome it with good. I'm almost done, I promise. And I'm going to end by reading. I've got four more scriptures. In Ephesians 6, 11 through 15, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not. Your enemy is not your sister. Your enemy is not your brother. Your enemy is not your cousin. Nope. It's the devil. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, guess what? We're in the day of evil. You may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. It does not take a rocket scientist to know that we are in a war. We are in a war, and our job is to stand and not to fight with the flesh, but to fight in the spirit. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. I'm a visual person, so when I visualize myself, I am walking in peace. So everywhere that I put my foot, guess what gets to stand there? Peace. And I just see this, like, force field coming up of peace all around me. Sometimes that's what all of us need to do. We need to decide that we're going to walk in peace. That's what we have on our feet. Everywhere that we walk, we get to take peace. And for some of us, that's a struggle, because I'll tell you right now, I struggle with anxiety. Or I have struggled with anxiety, and especially this week. But you know what? I knew. I was like, you know what? I'm talking about peace on Sunday, so of course I'm struggling with this week. God doesn't have anxiety for you. God has peace for you. And you have to fight to keep that peace. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus gives peace, and he means it. Sometimes in the world, they'll give you their support, their gift of their support, until you do something they don't agree with. Cancel culture, right? Do something wrong, and you're out. Nope, Jesus gives you peace, not as the world gives it. Jesus gives it to you for good. But John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. This is Jesus talking, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus gives you peace. The enemy comes on every side and says, nope, I want to steal that peace from you. And sometimes we're just like, okay, go ahead and take it. You can have it. Yeah, I'll be offended with that person. Yeah, I'll hold on to that unforgiveness. Yeah, I'm going to keep my pride, because you know what? Who I am matters. What I've done matters. No, stop letting him take your peace from you. Jesus has given that to you. And you've got to hold it close. And you've got to fight to keep it. And I'll tell you right now, sometimes fighting to keep it means that you're not going to show up where you said that you were going to show up. I'm not talking about not being committed. But sometimes in your life, you go through times and you have zero peace. And you've just got to get alone with God and say, what is it? What is it, God? Why am I not having peace? That was me this week. I was like, God, why am I not having peace? And you know, when I shut everything out and I turned my phone on do not disturb and I put on worship music and I opened the Bible, immediately I felt his presence. And that was it. Where's my peace? It's in the presence of God. Go before him and plead with thanksgiving. You don't have something to be thankful for? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Start by being thankful that the God of the universe sent his only son to die a death that was meant for you. Start by being thankful for that, and everything else will start to come into place. We all have something to be thankful. Thank you, Lord, that I can walk. Thank you that I can talk. Thank you that I can see. Just start it. Thank you for the person sitting next to me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the memories that I have with those who have gone on before me. We all have something to be thankful for, and we've got to be intentional about being thankful. You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional about spending time with the Lord. I'm going to end with this scripture, John 16:33. I have said these things to you. This is Jesus. I love Jesus. He's so great. That in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I'm going to invite you to stand. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. Nothing like it. And there is so much peace that the body of Christ is just leaving unopened, because they're choosing to walk in something else. Don't let that be us. Not North Elevation Church. Nope. We're going to walk in peace, because that's what Jesus gives us. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I want this to be a real personal moment with you and the Lord. Just ask him. Say, God, search me. Search my heart. What is it that's keeping me from peace? What is it that's keeping me from walking in confidence? If you're in here today and you want to walk in peace and you want to make that stand, you want to stand in the midst of the war, and you want to bring peace when you go, when you walk into family Thanksgiving this year, you're going to walk in and guess what's going to fill the room? Peace. If that's you, if that's what you want to do and you want to make that declaration, listen, I'm not saying this. You don't have to do this, but if you want to make the declaration and you want to come to the front, I'm going to invite you to come to the front. That you want to walk with that peace. You want to leave the offense at the door. You want to leave it at the feet of Jesus. You want to leave the unforgiveness. You want to leave the bitterness. You want to leave the anger, the resentment, all the stuff that keeps you from walking in peace. And you want to take that step and you want to say, you know what, devil? You do not get to have my peace. Jesus, we thank you so much for your presence here in this place. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're doing in all of our hearts. God, let us stop getting robbed. We're not just going to stand back anymore. Forgive us, Lord, for not taking the gift of peace that you give us. King Jesus, you paid the ultimate price for us to have it. God, let us not throw it back in your face, but let us walk in it. God, no matter our circumstance, no matter what's going on around us, Lord, let us have that peace. Jesus, you're so good. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you're like a blanket over every one of us, that you just fill our hearts, that we just walk in peace, that we fight to keep that peace, and that we walk in it. We walk in confidence, knowing that we have the victory in you. As Pastor Colin prayed, we already have the victory. There's not a war that you haven't won. We win. Thank you, Jesus, that we win. And Lord, I pray for every person here that you would strengthen us, that you would help us in the times, God, where we're tempted to let our peace be taken from us, that we would come back to you, that we would come to your presence, and that your presence would just fill our lives. That everywhere we go, that your presence would just explode on everyone around us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I'm going to invite Pastor Rochelle to come up here, and y'all can have a seat if you want. Sometimes whenever she gets the microphone, she talks for a long time. Just kidding. She doesn't.